This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, there is a lot of news around the auto industry lately, and some of it is kind of shocking. Matter of fact, GM's showing a gigantic profit. Anyway, BJ Colleen joining us, automotive journalist extraordinaire, and we're going to talk about just some of the stuff that's going on. SEMA 360. So right now, currently, in the world of the automotive enthusiast, most of us would either have already gotten back from SEMA or, you know, still be there depending on what year it is. But this last week would have been SEMA week. And so they did something called SEMA 360, and they did a virtual awards ceremony and a lot of that. So I guess we could start out talking about that. How you doing, BJ?
I'm doing great. How are you, Alan?
I'm doing okay. The election thing has got me a little verklumped, but the world goes on. We'll see what happens. Time will tell.
It always has. It will. So, yeah, you know, this is the week everybody would, all my friends come to my town, but Nobody came this year. It's kind of sad because when I haven't SEMA in person, everything was done online, like you said. They called it SEMA 360. And, we know it's not the same. I mean, the reason you go to SEMA is to see all the cars and see all your friends. And Online, it's okay to do. I mean, they had a little hot rod discussion yesterday. It was fun. It was the Ring Brothers and Bobby Alloway and Kyle Tucker from Detroit Speed. And Rick Love was moderator. And a couple of the people were on there, but it was kind of fun listening to them. But it was just not the same. It was strange. But I'll give SEMA credit to pull this together when they weren't sure what was going on. I mean, a lot of people, when they do these things, the internet has problems and you can't get into things. And I thought that it was pretty flawless what they did overall. But, it's just not the same. We know that. Yeah. So that's the biggest problem. They did keep going with the Battle of the Builders. So that's kind of nice. You know, they start off with like 200 builders and they narrow it down and they'll be announcing the winners pretty soon. But you got some pretty impressive judges. You got RJ DeVera, who judges the Sport Compacts area. He was a Sport Compact racer. And Jim and Mike Ring from the Ring Brothers are doing the hot rod judging. And, you know, you got some top names who are past winners. The Ring Brothers are past winners. Kyle Tucker, Troy Catania, Bobby Alloway. And so they've got a lot of guys that are competing this year for the finalists. Andy Leach is in the hot rod section. Andy Leach was one of the kids that used to work at Troy's shop, so it's really nice to see him there.
Yeah.
Chip Foose's got a 74 Jag E-Type in the Sport Compact. Andy's doing a 71 Plymouth Cuda. Mm. And you got a bunch of people on the truck and off-road. And the Young Guns is always fun because those are the up-and-coming people. So we'll see who wins it. And then at some point, we'll probably get to see the cars next year. And that's one of the things that the Ring Brothers were talking about yesterday. It's like, yeah, we can't show anything this year, but next year we'll bring both cars. So, And Bobby Alloway going, hey, it's nice that I didn't have to work down to the wire because of the cutoff time to get the car there. So, they can just be a little bit more detailed. So, it's you can see the new products online. And again, it's only open to the media, but they'll get the word out. So they did the best that they could with what they have. So I want to just give them kudos for that, pat them on the back.
Well, it's funny because you said something really important there. There's a lot of builders that, they work right up to the last minute. And then, of course, the vehicles get to the car show. It's a car show and a trade show all in one. And the cars, they could have used another month to really finesse them. I have a friend who's building a Mustang, and it is absolutely amazing. But, he would have not been done. He told me, I'm going to be done for SEMA. Of course, that was his big dream. He's at least 3 months away. So his car will, of course, be completely done, tested, and ready to go. And there'll be a lot more just like him for the next, Battle of the Builders, so on and so forth. And what booth will they be in? Because all that is, positioning. It's kind of like the big beauty contest of the world for cars, you might say. So,
And what's nice is next year, the extension to the convention center will be open also.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be even more couple more million miles to make your feet ache at the end of the day. So it is kind of nice we saved our feet this year.
Yeah, because exactly.
Usually by the end of the week, you can't even walk. You've done like 20, I mean, we used to do what, 20,000 steps a day is what we were covering. Yeah. Probably a little bit more for some of us, but yeah. It's like, wow, you lose at least 5 pounds walking around. See, okay. If you're not eating it every week.
I know next year I'm going to be so fat. I'm going to have a whole new wardrobe. Tell you, I've got stretch marks on my cheeks from eating so much. We'll take a little break. BJ Colleen, automotive journalist extraordinaire. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show brought to you by Dodge, and thanks to Dodge, congratulations for being the first domestic brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. That right there is cool, especially American-made company car. We'll be right back. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America and around the globe because of the interwebs thing. Okay, so there's a lot of news going on right now. I mean, the election is, you know, all of the kind of the debacle of what's happening in the election is really stealing some thunder from stuff that's going on. Like I said, GM showed just huge profits and, you know, congratulations to GM. You said something about Carlos Ghosn, who was the head of Nissan, right?
That is correct. And we have two running themes on this show. And one of them is Tesla, you know, yeah. Elon Musk. And we love that one. But the other one is Carlos Ghosn we've been talking about. And I think most people that listen to you know the story. Carlos Ghosn was head of Nissan and he got... I think, in my opinion, got double-dealed by the Japanese arm of Nissan and pretty much arrested him when he went there. And this was probably, what, like a year ago? But the cool thing is he had this dramatic escape to Lebanon. It was pretty hush-hush. It was like a spy novel kind of thing. And right. So he's, you know, they haven't come back to arrest him because there's no reciprocity with Lebanon. They're not going to turn him over. But, you know, he's kind of trapped there, can't go places. But he wrote a book. I guess he's had a year to write. So he wrote a book, and it's due December 9th is when it's going to be shown up on Amazon and Kindle. And the book is called Le Temps de la Vérité, which is the French because he speaks French. It's basically It's Time for the Truth or Time for the Truth. And he wrote all about what's going on, whose fault this is, what happened, you know, the whole story. It's 473 pages. So wow. If you know Carlos Ghosn, you know he likes to talk. So he also obviously likes to write. But this is going to be an interesting read once it comes out because he talks about how it's going to prove there's clear evidence of collusion between Nissan and the Japanese prosecutors and the government. And, wow. So it's going to be a lot of insider dirty dealing kind of news that I don't think he cares that he spills it or not. So I can't wait to read. I don't know if it's going to take me a while to get through 500 pages, and I'm a fast reader, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. Wow. For
yeah,
sure.
He was. I knew it was Nissan, but wasn't Renault in there also?
Yeah, he actually was trying to broker a deal to make Renault a bigger part of Nissan. And I don't think Nissan wanted to have Renault's fingers in their pie. And I think that kind of started it. And it's just gone from there. I mean, absolutely crazy what's been happening. I mean, it is definitely worthy of a movie. And I think if COVID hadn't happened, somebody would be shooting it right now. I'll be perfectly honest, because it's got everything you could imagine. You know, it's money and power and prestige and cars and, you know, I mean, it's just like an escape, a daring escape. So,
well, they put him in. They put him in like a giant music case, like you'd put a set of drums in to ship across the country. And sure enough, that's how he escaped. And
smuggled out of the country.
Right. But the funny thing is, and here's the bad part, is that unless you know this and I don't, that Gohan has a black belt in karate or something, there won't be any fighting scenes. That's what makes that a good about. Movie, right? Oh, man. Yeah, right?
I think they came after the guys that helped him escape. So maybe there's a fight scene in there someplace.
Oh, because these guys are like Green Beret or something, right?
Yeah, but a lot of people, you know, changed hands and you know, that left the guy who was the main one who accused him in the first place left the Nissan in Japan. And a couple of CEO of Renault was fired last year. And another former Nissan executive left right after his arrest. And I mean, it's just, it's almost too complicated. Maybe I understand why it's almost 500 pages, because there's just so much to be going on. And apparently the daughter was told about the search warrant and the plot against her father by a tipster. And I mean, it's really, it's like a John le Carre novel. It's that crazy. So it's going to be an interesting read. There's no question. He's probably charging a fortune for it.
It's called Time for the Truth, but is it called, what was the actual name of it? And is it the same name here?
It's a French name. Okay. Yes, the French name is Le Temps de la Vérité, which is basically Time for the Truth. Okay. So on Amazon, you cannot find the English version yet. You can only see the French version. So if you don't speak French, you don't want to order this yet. But I'm sure that the English translation will be coming out probably close to the same time. It's a Hachette book group. They're charging for this one, paperback, $50 for the paperback.
Man.
I know. Kindle's only $18. So if you have a Kindle, you might want to read it there. But I don't know if they have photos.
Lord. Well, there you go.
I'd love to see photos.
You know what? It is time for the truth in everything in this world. Good Lord. Anxiety is high. High anxiety. We'll be right back. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BremboStoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BremboStoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, thanks for joining us. We're talking about General Motors doing so well. They had like a $5.3 billion profit. BJ Colleen joining us. This is your song, BJ. Just made sure I always play this one. That's pretty darn good. $35.5 billion net revenue with a $5.3 billion profit. That's a turnaround if I've ever seen one right there. You know?
Well, you know, they're really trying to modernize themselves. And we've said this before, trying to turn a ship like GM is like trying to turn the Titanic on a dime. It doesn't happen overnight. But, you know, you just got to keep making little incremental turns and eventually it's going to happen. So we know that they've been introducing a lot of great vehicles. They just introduced the electric Hummer. They've got this whole electric plan. They've got a new electric battery coming out. So they're definitely looking toward the future, and you got to give them credit for doing that. And I think a lot of people see that, hey, let's jump on board. Now's the time. So they're probably selling more stocks. They probably cut down on some of their expenses. And so I think they're sitting pretty right now, and that's good news.
Well, good for Mary Barra, president, or actually she's the chairman and CEO. And
yes,
it's good stuff. All right. You had something on Volkswagen, Golf R.
Yeah, you know, we love Volkswagens, but probably our favorite Volkswagen has to be the Golf R. And I know you've driven it and I've driven it, and it's just a fun little car. It's always been a fun little car. Back when it was the Rabbit in the 70s, I'm dating myself, if you remember that.
Oh, but, I own one. What are you kidding me? Go ahead.
Oh, did you have a pink one, though?
No, I own a Cabriolet, a 1992 Volkswagen Cabriolet Wolfsburg edition. I've had it sitting in my yard for about 10 years on cinder blocks. No, not really.
Oh.
It's white on white, white top, white paint, white interior. It's kind of rare, and it's a Wolfsburg edition. And one of these days when I get time, I'm going to take a sandblaster and get rid of all the moss that's growing on it. because it's been sitting there so long. But I have 3.5 acres. It's the back of the field right next to my neighbor's front door. You know?
maybe we need to have a little discussion about me purchasing it from
I'll send you a picture of it. Yeah.
But the Golf is just, and you know it, like, again, it's just a fun little car to drive. And Volkswagen actually introduced a 2022 model. It's a 2022 Golf R, and they call it the most powerful production Golf of all time. And we always know the Golf's just been a lightweight, fun car to drive, but this new Golf R, they're saying it's got 315 horsepower.
Oh, my God.
That's almost 30 more on the outgoing, and 310 pound-feet of torque.
Well, for that little car, that's just, that thing's got to scream.
Yeah, they said 0 to 62 miles per hour in 4.7 seconds. Oh, so, you know, you got to love this car because, I mean, at first it looks unassuming. You know, they put a couple little details on it. You know, you got a little bit different wheels and some badging on it and things like that. So, you know, it's the Golf R. But, I mean, if you got it in like a nondescript color, you could blow the doors off a Corvette almost if you wanted to.
Well, it's power to weight ratio, and that thing is so light with that many horsepower. That's equivalent of a 500 or 600 horsepower vehicle anyway, you know, because of most of the, like my Mustang, my GT500 from 2007 weighed 4,400 pounds at 500 horsepower, and that thing was fast as heck. And now today's Mustang is probably still 4,000 pounds, 760 horsepower. That thing is insane. So, I mean, if you take this little thing, I don't know what it weighs, maybe under 3,000 or 3,000 pounds.
I can't imagine it's anything more than 3,000. There's no way it could be. It's just not that big.
Yeah. Don't get too excited. I just sent you pictures of the Wolfsburg Volkswagen.
Okay.
So just wait till after the show and we'll talk, all right?
Okay. The new Golf R, though, it's kind of cool. At the top of the radiator grill, there's a blue crossbar that kind of lights up as an LED strip as soon as the engine starts up and stretches all the way into the fenders. So I guess it's kind of like, you remember the old kit car from the Knight Rider series?
Right.
So it probably does something like that. On the U.S., a sunroof is standard. 19-inch aluminum wheels. You get performance tires, some are performance tires. You got the side skirts, and you got some cool other things on there. Blue brake calipers, which is kind of neat. They're used to seeing red, so I don't know if Brembo made them, but if they did, they made them blue, so it's kind of nice. All-wheel drive is standard.
Oh, wait. All-wheel drive is standard?
Yeah, permanent all-wheel drive is standard.
Oh,
all
my
five
gosh.
Generations of are going to get it.
Oh, yeah.
So talk about handling. You know, it's going to have that grip there, too, wet or dry weather, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's got a 10-inch touchscreen display.
Wow.
There's a new welcome sign, Napa leather. And I don't know what the price. I don't know if they mentioned the price, but it is a 2022 model. I can't believe I'm actually saying 2022.
I know.
But still, I'll probably announce it closer to that. But I'm telling you, this is just going to be a little sleeper car that I cannot wait to get behind the wheel of, because it's going to be an absolute blast to drive.
Yeah.
And just pulling up on unsuspecting sports cars at the light and just taking off and just beating the pants off them, that's where I get my pleasure from.
That's too funny. Too funny. Well, Volkswagen can use all the help they can get right now. And these little GTI type cars, of course, if you're old enough to know what a GTI was, then this is today's, you know, Golf R is yesterday's GTI, which, oh my gosh, the difference between this and what we used to get excited about, night and day. All right, BJ, thank you for the report. You know, here we are. It's the weekend. I'm going to go get on my tractor, by the way. coming up next, I'm going to talk to Carl Brower. He's got some reports on fun stuff, the best and worst depreciation of vehicles. So some fun stuff with Carl Brower, too. BJ, thank you very much. BJ Killeen, everybody. All
Thank
right.
you.
Appreciate it. Take a little break and be back with more of The Drive. Stay with us.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit JDPower.com/awards.
is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, every so often I get to have one of the North American Car and Truck of the Year, or Truck or SUV of the Year. They call it NACTOY, but nobody knows what that means except them. One of the jurors and board members on the show right now, that would be Carl Brower. Actually, a lot of them are on this show. I shouldn't say a lot. A few of them. I think Stephen Cole Smith is also on the board. And is Lauren Fick still on the board, too, Carl?
Yes, both of them are still on. They're not on the board, but they're both on the jury.
On the jury, that's what it is, yes. What does it mean to be on the board versus the jury? I mean, what does the board do? You pick the jury, I guess.
So there's 50 jury members, and then five of those jury members are on the board. And we, you know, president, vice president, treasurer, secretary, and then I'm head of membership. So there's five of us just...
So you're the guy...
Run the organization.
You're the one that sent me the decline letter. Is that what it was? Is it what came from you?
Yeah, I think I wrote it. It was really short when you sent your application. I think I just put an acronym. I think it was GTFO, I think. I can't remember. I sent you something back, but yeah.
I did not send anything in. I am not a member of anything, as you know. I try not to member up. Anyway, that's funny. But you're a board member. Wow, that's pretty big.
You know, I don't want to talk about your members, okay?
Oh, my God. You know what? Something's wrong with you, Carl. Let's just get on with cars.
Sorry, it's a role reversal. I'm being you and you're being me today. Sorry.
What in the world just happened? Oh, my gosh.
I think both of us would agree the world's upside down right now.
No. But the funny thing is, during the commercial break, we were both talking about, you know, Carl was talking about eating, you know, an abundance of those little mini Snickers bars, and I said, that's okay, I got a 5-pound bag of Hershey's Kisses. We're both on sugar high
We're both running on sugar, which is bad.
Man, okay, so you have driven, you know, and it's funny because when you say the word McLaren, there are people that don't even know what a McLaren is, and you have driven one. I have only driven one, period. Okay. You have driven this new 765 LT, but I thought you had already driven this car, or is this the first time?
This one's brand new. No, okay. People are just getting in it now. It's their latest, greatest one that just hit the showrooms like this month.
No, not people. The board members of the North American Car and Truck of the Year. Those are the people you're talking about. Not people, because I'm a people. I'm we the people. We don't drive that car. You do, you elite crowd. I get it.
Yeah, well, this is quite a car, Alan. I got to tell you, and I'm not easily impressed. You know, it's not like you and I both don't have some pretty impressive vehicles in our fleet and in our history.
Right.
But this thing is something else. It's, you know, the 720S is kind of where it starts, and that's an impressive car. Anyone who knows exotic cars knows that what you pay, what you get, the numbers that it pulls. The 720S is an incredibly capable car. Well, this car has 45 more horsepower and weighs about 200 pounds less than the 720S. So you and I both also know what happens when you increase horsepower while simultaneously decreasing weight on an already really fast and capable exotic car. So the 765 LT is just this highly focused vehicle that's mostly supposed to be a track vehicle. And yet, as abusive as I was prepared, given what I knew the focus and mission of this vehicle was, it's really pretty easy to live with too. It's not that much worse really in terms of like noise and all that highway road noise, ride quality, than the 720, but yet it's pulling even better numbers in every sense.
So you say it's truly incredible versus, you know, what you pay versus what you get. What do you pay for a car like this?
So this newest one, I believe the base price is like $353,355. The way mine was equipped, which was pretty loaded up with expensive toys on top, was $428.
Oh.
So it wasn't cheap. Yeah, it's not a cheap car, but this is probably going to be, when they're done with all the instrumented testing and all the organizations that do it, I'm going to assume this will be one of, if not the fastest, kind of overall exotic car out there. The McLaren Senna, which is an even more track-focused car that McLaren already released a couple of years ago, that thing is among the most you know, like fastest lap times, fastest acceleration, highest top speed. It's in the top couple cars that have been made. And that thing is kind of brutal. That thing's kind of hard to live with on the public road. This one's supposed to be a little more road oriented, but still very track oriented. I think it's going to pull almost the same numbers as the Senna.
So I'm pretty sure that there are a couple of drugs that, and I'm not a drug guy, so I don't know, but I think if I'm correct through watching movies on television, if you take heroin, your eyes roll back in your head, you know, when you shoot up right at that moment, right? I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to take your word for it.
I don't know. Pulp Fiction, you know. But anyway, the last time I drove a McLaren, the guy took me for a ride first to show me, you know, to kind of show me the vehicle. And when he accelerated, at the time, it would do like 0 to 60 in, I think, 3.2 seconds, which made my eyeballs roll around like, you know, a poker machine. You know, it's like, this is that kind of, you know, speed is, your body is not used to it, you know? And this was like 10 years ago, the last time I drove a McLaren. Do you have a 0 to 60 time on any of those things? That's in the range, though, right? Like around 3 seconds or so?
I think they told us, actually, and it was like 2.9 or 2.8 on 0 to 60. Basically, a little bit quicker than the 720. Where it's crazy, Alan, is like 0 to 124. Like, it's a chunk faster than the 720 and the McLaren Senna. So it's, gosh, it was like the numbers from 0 to 60, you know, that's just not that much time, you know, to get to that speed. So it's getting harder and harder every time you try to shave another tenth of a second. But yeah, when you can shave the kind of numbers they shaved off the 0 to 124, which I believe is 200, that's 0 to 200 kilometers an hour. So that's the big deal on the European brands, but right, it's 124 right, miles per hour here. It was like a chunk faster than anything else they've ever made.
Well, but when you spend that much money, and you would be one to know because you are in that realm of, you know, expenditure with the GT500 that you have, or the GT, I should say. I bought a GT500, have not even taken delivery of it yet. But the difference between the McLaren 765 LT, base price $355,000, and the price as tested as Carl's driving it, $428,000, is the difference right there is my Shelby GT500 for 2020. Just so you know, that's the difference.
Yeah.
So I could have
the options on the options on my car could have bought your car.
Right, exactly. It's like, what in the world? And I haven't even taken delivery of it yet.
I just found it, Alan. 7 seconds. 0 to 124 miles per hour in 7 seconds. Remember when 0 to 60 in 7 seconds was considered a pretty quick time?
Yeah.
Now it's over twice. Now you're getting to twice that speed in 7 seconds.
Well, and, you know, that's, you know, minivans will do 0 to 60 in 7 seconds now, which is funny. All right. That's funny. All I can say is I'm talking about heroin and shooting up because in Oregon now, it's legal.
You can do that.
Yeah.
You can do that. Go ahead and knock yourself out. Literally.
I guess I should check into it. The show could be really fun. All right, hold tight. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about best and worst vehicles for depreciation. I feel underdepreciated by you, Carl. I mean underappreciated. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever. The 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Well, I was talking about my buddy Carl Brower, automotive industry analyst. He writes for Forbes Autos. He's a contributor there. North American Car and Truck of the Year, juror and board member. Executive analyst for iccars.com, like C's candy, iccars.com. And they have right now just released a study, best and worst vehicles for depreciation. And I can only imagine that that McLaren and cars like that, you know, I was going to say this, but I don't think it's true. Those kind of cars kind of hold their value pretty well, don't they?
It depends. Actually, McLarens depreciate pretty heavily.
Do they?
You probably have a sense of this, Alan, but for various reasons we don't have to dig into necessarily, premium cars from that great Isle of Britain tend to drop their value quicker than comparable cars from some of the other comparable premium cars from some of the other countries out there on the other side of oceans, like Lexus and Audi and BMW and Mercedes.
Well, so you're talking
Jaguars,
about
Jaguars, Land Rovers. They kind of drop a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't think McLaren was that way, though. I mean, and you and I both know because we're car aficionados, but we tend to buy cars that do hold their value, which is kind of a rare thing. You and I both have made money on our last new car purchases, and I did it twice, and you're probably going to do it twice also, maybe three times, but it's a rare thing. I thought a McLaren would be that. Anyway, let's talk about the best and worst vehicles for depreciation. ICCars.com, you can find this study. Give us a quick thumbnail. What is the best and worst?
Yeah, well, just real quick as an example, number four on the top 10 best is a Porsche 911, just to kind of make my point that, the German sports cars coming with the Porsche badge on them tend to do quite well on their resale value.
Right, right.
The number one on the best for least appreciation or least value lost in the first 5 years of ownership is the Jeep Wrangler Unlimited. That's the four-door version. And number three is the Jeep Wrangler two-door version, just without the Unlimited.
Two-door.
And in between that is the Toyota Tacoma, which, as you and I both know, is an incredibly popular and tough, capable, and long-lasting truck.
Right.
So, you know, the first three vehicles are kind of these utilitarian, Wrangler Unlimited, Tacoma, Wrangler, and number four is a Porsche 911. And then you're right back into trucks with Toyota Tundra, Toyota 4Runner, then Subaru WRX, then Dodge Challenger. And you were just talking about us buying cars that hold value. When you buy the Challenger in demon form, like you and I did, they definitely hold their value.
Yeah.
Then GMC Canyon, number nine.
Really?
And number 10 is Nissan Frontier. A lot of trucks, as you know. Yeah. And I think you also know, Alan, that trucks generally seem to hold their value. And in the last, 2 years, especially in the last year, especially in the last 8 months, since the world kind of started going sideways, trucks have been on a tear in terms of value, new and used car and demand, used value and demand on the market. Trucks, everyone wants their truck right now.
Now, so just real quickly, I'm glad that Nissan Frontier is on there because to me, Nissan, originally known as Datsun, Nissan has been to me an undervalued truck brand. And the little Nissan trucks are just bulletproof. They're just like Toyotas.
Yep.
They're just good.
Yeah.
They're just
as good, but people don't know it. So they don't have the same kind of secondary market value as the Toyotas do.
Yeah. So this is a study, by the way, on iccars.com. You guys should really check it out. iccars.com. All right. Let's talk about the worst depreciation.
So we're back to what we were talking about before. Premium brands that are not trucks. The first two vehicles, BMW 7 Series and then a BMW 5 Series.
Oh!
So these premium branded non-truck vehicles, basically premium sedans, neither of those are helpful on depreciation. Audi A6 is number four, and in between those first two and the fourth one is the Nissan Leaf, which the electric cars take a hit because they have the $7,500 rebate on them, at least they did 5 years ago from Nissan, and so that's all figured in right off the bat. In other words, if the car's retail price is $42,000, but you only end up paying the equivalent of $35,000 because of that thing, that federal credit, that doesn't get figured. It's not like we give a pass on that when we're figuring resale value. Bottom line is, when someone on a secondary market wants to buy that car, they already assume the first person paid $35,000, and it goes down from there. So that first $7,500 that comes off right off the top from the rebate from the feds goes right into the depreciation calculation, making electric cars and even some hybrids and other cars like that do very badly when resale value, because they just are considered a drop right off the bat.
It's like, how bad could it be when you say the BMW 7 Series loses a horrible depreciation? How bad could it be?
It's $73,000 in the first 5 years, Alan. Think of it this way. Whatever you paid for that car, bought it or rent or whatever, and you have a loan on it, you're making a loan payment, add $1,200 a month, because that's 60 months and that's $73,000. $1,200 a month you're losing in resale value every month on that seven.
All right. This study is at iccars.com. Jeez, it's not like we're trying to kick BMW into goo-goo berries or anything, but man, that's a big loss. All right, hang tight.
The numbers are the numbers, you know?
That's right. We'll be right back with more Carl Brower. Stay with us. It is The Drive. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
I'm glad that our show is sponsored by Subaru with their one of their vehicles, the WRX, on the, best depreciation vehicles, the WRX. So congratulations to Subaru. That whole study is available again at iccars.com. Carl Brower joining us, representing them right now. Carl, you know, earlier in the show, we talked about Genesis G90. Now, I've never driven a Genesis vehicle at all. Not like, you know, because you and I were together when I got that Aston Martin Airborne. I've driven Aston Martins. So I know that I can be abusive and still drive these cars. But Genesis just looked at me and they're like, no, him? Ha! No. Anyway, and but I've never driven one. But there's a GV90, a GV80, and there's other G, or there's GG. I don't. It's kind of like BMW with a 5 Series and a 7 Series, right? Same kind of a deal. Mama Bear, Papa Bear, yeah, right? Kind of a deal.
Yeah, there's the G70, G80, and G90, which would be 3, 5, 7 series for BMWs, or
gotcha.
CES classes for Mercedes.
Got it.
And then you've got GV80 and GV70, and those would be like X3 and X5.
So
be like they're compact and midsize SUVs.
So the Genesis brand is the kind of like the for Toyota, they have Lexus. For Nissan, they have Infiniti.
Yep.
For Hyundai, they have Genesis. It's a premium brand. The GV80 and the G80 on the same platform, do they begin life on the same platform? One gets a sedan body and one gets an SUV or a crossover?
Essentially,
yeah.
They both got the same body, and they can both be rear-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. Mm. But one has a car shape sitting on there, and one has a SUV shape. And I just am so glad Genesis has two SUVs coming out, you know, in a fairly short time, because they launched that brand without any SUVs a couple years ago, and by then everyone knew where the market was going, and it was kind of like, guys, you do want this brand to succeed, right? And the truth is, the sedans that they launched with are really good sedans. It's hard to sell a really good sedan, no matter how good it is right now, as you know, Alan, but it's pretty easy to sell an SUV. Even ones that aren't very good sell okay. So now they're going to really make some volume with that brand.
That's my question. How well does it launch? Because, as you know, I want air. I want to get air under the tires.
Yeah. Launch, you're talking more like Apollos when you talk about launch. But yeah, they are really, both these vehicles are really good, Alan. They're on the North American Car, Truck, and Utility candidate list because they're all new vehicles for 2021. So they're both in the running, one of them for car, the G80, and one of them for SUV, GV80. I think they both have an extremely good shot at it. They are both really well executed. And the other thing I would just say about Genesis generally is, you know, it's tough for these premium brands to just make any headway in the market versus the traditional ones. And we all know that we've watched Lexus and Acura and Nissan's Infiniti version battle that out for the last 30 plus years. And it's tough to make headway there, but it's easy. I think it's getting easier all the time. So I think younger and younger buyers aren't as hung up on saying, oh, that's just a fancy Toyota or that's just a fancy Hyundai. I think they're like, I get in this car and it seems like I'm getting a lot of car and a lot of luxury for the money. I think I'll give it a try. So I think Genesis sales have already been fairly good, even with just the sedans. And I think they're going to be even better with the SUVs, of course. So I feel like the brand is basically making quicker headway, much quicker headway than the Japanese premium brands had to face when they started in the late 80s. That was a tougher road to hoe.
Carl, just think if they had some pictures of a Genesis GV80 catching some air with my face, you know, with the long flowing mane of silver hair that I have now. That could be a fantastic commercial. What is the guy's name? Kevin Smith. Kevin, come on. Anyway,
see, I'm seeing more like that Ferrari scene from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and the two valets were in there. But one way or the other, right, it would work, I guess.
Right. All right. Star Wars theme we'll be interested to follow how these Genesis do in the when is the actual? I was going to say, when is the vote? Ooh, did I say that word? When is the vote, though? Is it coming?
Yeah, the much less controversial vote for car, truck, and SUV of the year. We'll get it down to three vehicles for each of those categories in December.
Yeah.
And we'll announce those kind of finalists, and then we'll make the final announcement on who wins each category about the second week of January.
Right on. North American Car, Truck, and SUV of the Year board member and juror Carl Brower. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. You're good.
Great being on with you, Alan.
Yes, sir. You can find that study on the best and worst vehicle depreciation at iccars.com. I'm Alan Taylor.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, thanks to our sponsor in Dodge, and congratulations for being the first domestic brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So thanks to Dodge. I'm Alan Taylor, and our buddy Brian Moody joining us now from Auto Trader, autotrader.com on the web. And Brian, is it true? Let me ask before you say yes, because normally you just run ahead of me. Please give me a minute to talk here. Damn it.
Yeah.
So difficult. Is it true? You're such a good guy. Is it true that the last Lincoln Continental has been built? In other words, wasn't this car just born and it's lived a very short life and they're killing it off already? Is it true? Tell me it's not true.
Well, yes, that is true. Oh. But here's some context. The Lincoln Continental actually has an 80-year history. But the current one, which I think came along in 2016, does that sound right?
Yeah.
That was the 10th generation of the Continental. Actually, okay, so here's what it is. They showed it in 2016, but it was actually a 2017 model year car.
Right.
Does that sound right?
Yep.
Yeah. So it started selling them in 2017. We saw it in 2016. And now in 2020, they're going to kill it again.
Which,
so
you know,
what are you going to do?
It's sad because, I mean, it really is a nice car. I mean, really a nice car.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that's ever driven it that didn't go, that's a nice car. But it's because people are shifting to SUVs and crossover vehicles, and they just make so much more sense for the American families.
Definitely that. Yeah. But I also think that a little part of it, too, is I remember the concept car coming out, and people could see that at auto shows, and everybody was all, wow, this is amazing. And I think that the average person or the average car buyer, car enthusiast, they kind of understand that concept cars are supposed to be kind of crazy and outlandish. So, you know, when the Toyota Corolla comes out, if you don't get one that has rocket fuel tanks and 33-inch wheels, well, probably that was never going to happen.
Right.
But when it comes to cars like the Lincoln Continental and even the Lincoln, remember the Lincoln Navigator they showed where like the whole side of the door is lifted up
right.
like a big gull wing?
Yeah, concept.
Well, because that car is already costing $80,000, $90,000, $100,000, some people, a lot of people were like, oh, so I get that with the car?
Yeah,
no, that's
right.
just a concept.
Right, that's just a...
The Corolla or a Mazda 6 or a Chevy Tahoe, you would never think that. So I wonder if part of the problem with the Continental wasn't that the concept was so outlandish, and then when the other car came, again, great car, but not quite as up to people's expectations in terms of what the concept showed. So I think it's a great car. The turbocharged engine, amazing, lots of power, lots of comfort, so many. This is one of my favorite features from a car that's now going away, so let's just talk about it more. You know how when you set the air conditioner on auto, right? So say you just put it on auto 72 or whatever, the temperature, and you get in the car, and it's a really hot day. What does it do? Just fires up and starts blowing right in your face as fast as it can. Well, the Lincoln has this thing where you can set it auto 1, auto 2, auto 3. So if you set the temperature low and then you fire the car up, it'll still gently blow cold air out and not right. fire up and, you know, in your face.
Right.
But that's one of the innovative features that was on the car, and now it's going to go away. I don't know. I think people still want cars.
Yeah.
Maybe just not that one.
Well, and so I think in the future, you being from, you know, autotrader.com, this will definitely be on your best used luxury cars in the future.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Right? And still to this day, actually, the 2017, 2018 models, because they're going to end the run of the Lincoln Continental now, I think the used ones, I don't know, will they hold their value? Will they go up a little?
No. Look down the road a few years. You're exactly right. Look down the road a few years. Let's just go 5 years down the road, and I bet you're going to be able to get one of those for like $20,000.
Yeah, no question about it.
And what a great car for that price.
Exactly. All right, when we come back, Lincoln with the Continental sedan going away. How about Genesis bringing back or bringing something that is almost equivalent to that in the G90? This is The Drive. Brian Udy from Auto Trader. Be right back to talk about it. Stay with us.
The sky comes falling down for you. There's nothing in this world I wouldn't do.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, and talking to my buddy Brian Moody, executive editor of autotrader.com. He just dropped a bomb on us that the Lincoln Continental, the last one, has been built. People like SUVs, crossovers, and these types of vehicles, and trucks. In the next segment, he's going to talk about 10 best used trucks under $20,000. Well, that's a sweet spot. But,
Lincoln... I have a theory about that, though.
Go ahead.
Tell me where I'm wrong. I just want you to tell me, like, where I'm going off the rails, right?
Okay.
So the reason we have SUVs and crossovers is because people from a specific generation did not want to drive their parents' cars, but they still needed some sort of, like, flexibility and utility. What kinds of cars were those that, you know, that generation didn't want to drive?
Station wagons.
Station wagons, right? Okay.
Right.
So... why didn't you want to drive that? Because that was your parents had. It seemed old. It was fuddy-duddy. Why isn't anybody catching on to the idea that everybody who's growing up in the SUV crossover generation, when they get to be of driving age, which is coming very soon, by the way,
right.
they don't want to drive those cars. They're going to want something different. They're going to want sedans. They're going to want wagons. They're going to want coupes. I don't know why everyone's so quick to throw away the sedans when you know that this is always cyclical.
Right.
So you mentioned that's a perfect example, but I don't know that people are like, am I wrong? How am I? I feel like I can't be the only one.
No. What's old is new again. You know what they say. But so Lincoln going away with, not Lincoln, but the Continental going away, the sedan, where Genesis, which is, you know, the Hyundai upline, the premium side of Hyundai, and they call right. this line Genesis. They're bringing out a vehicle that is similar sized with the G90. They're saying, no, we think that sedans are still cool.
Yeah, I think luxury sedans have a place in any luxury lineup. I think Cadillac, Lincoln, Genesis, Lexus. I don't see how you have a full line luxury brand and don't have a big, cushy, powerful sedan. And that's what the G90 is. It's a great car. Plenty of power. Good looking. Oh, my gosh. So good looking. It looks like a Bentley in the front. Mm. If they should do an EPA estimate for thumbs up per mile when you're driving it.
How much money are these new G90s from Genesis?
About $70,000. So, ooh. You know, not cheap.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you can get a little bit, you know, slightly under that, but when you compare it to, like, say, an S-Class, or you compare it to, well, a luxury SUV is going to be $100,000, compare it to an S-Class, compare it to, what's another big full-size 7 Series, way under in those,
yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
A8.
A really great car, comfortable, right. quiet, smooth, good-looking, and like you said, Hyundais have been proven to be reliable. This is Hyundai's luxury brand, kind of like Lexus for Toyota. I think it's a great car, and I think it shows that, like, there's something amiss with the Continental. I think Lincoln is doing a great job on the whole, the colors, the textures, the vehicles, all that. But something is amiss with the Continental not making it, because look at the other sedans that people are bringing, G80, G90, a new Lexus ES, a new Lexus LS from a few years ago. Right. I don't know. I just can't quite figure that out. Regardless, the G90 is great. It's worth checking out.
Well, it's like analyzing what did they do wrong? Why were they not selling? Or is the Lincoln brand, when it comes to sedans, synonymous with livery vehicles? You know, I don't know. That's what did they do wrong? They like to be known as the sanctuary car or vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, that, and they really do a nice job of making these vehicles comfortable, powerful, economical, safe. There's nothing wrong with it, but there's a science to all this. And some of these brands, yeah. like you said, this Genesis G90, it has that something, whatever that science is.
Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it has it in spades. It just has so much of it that you want to drive it. I felt like the Lincoln Continental was that too, but not enough people agreed with me.
Yeah, I think, you know, the part of the sport utility equation, or even crossover vehicle, which is really a sport utility that's built on a car-based platform, in essence,
right.
is that most people that have families these days are becoming much more outdoors and extreme sports, or whatever you want to call it, for, you know, snowboarding, skiing,
right.
towing the boat, towing jet skis, bicycles. So they want a vehicle.
Outdoorsy.
Yes, that can do those things for them, where you just don't see a sedan doing that very often. It could do it, you know, like the Audi, you know, the Audi, all these all-wheel drive
all
type. And even the Lincoln, didn't they make an all-wheel drive version of the Continental? I believe they did.
Uh-huh. And there's Volvo Cross Country, and there's a Subaru Outback,
right.
and there's going to be a Volkswagen version of that. But here's what I think about the SUV craze. I hear what you're saying, and I totally agree with you, but a young mom said this to me the other day. She said, as soon as my kids are old enough to drive, I am not going to drive this SUV anymore.
Yeah.
Because nothing about this car is for me.
Yeah.
It's all for everybody else.
Ooh. All right. Well, you can find these stories. Check out autotrader.com. There's a whole lot more than new and used cars. Lots of stories. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the 10 best used trucks under 20 grand with Brian Moody from Auto Trader. We'll be right back.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Subaru and the Outback. Go where love takes you. Talking about SUVs and crossovers or whatever. Brian Moody joining us from autotrader.com. And one of the good things that they do for folks out there is to make them aware of what you can get for your money on this radio show. Right now, we'll talk about the 10 best used trucks. Did you say for towing? Is that, did I miss that part?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, for towing.
There you go. Under 20 grand. 10 best used trucks for towing under 20 grand. Even better. What do you got?
So you might have to go back a few years, but, you know, here's 10 trucks that will tow like crazy for under 20 grand. We'll start with a 2011 Ford F-350. The Super Duty trucks were redesigned slightly that year.
Yeah.
So you can probably get a couple of Power Stroke diesels, and they'll tow over 20,000 pounds.
Whew.
So under 20 grand for that, that's a good deal.
Yep.
Slightly newer, 2013 Ram 1500 can tow over 9,000 pounds. You probably want the one that's got the Hemi. So that'll do, you know, quite a bit of work there.
Right.
Also, the 2014 Chevy Silverado HD. The thing I like about this list is that you're getting, you know, heavy-duty truck, HD trucks for under 20 grand. And, you know, with a 6-liter V8, I think that will get the job done. Just try to find the right miles, you know, depending on what you're looking for.
And let me stop you right there, because
you don't have to.
These things, by the way, some of these things, you know, you find them with, you know, 150,000 miles. 150,000
yeah.
miles. That's nothing on today's vehicles. I've seen them with 300,000. Right, exactly. So, yeah, if you can find something with around 120,000, 130,000 miles, don't think, oh, it's worn out. Because if you're old enough like me, I remember with 100,000 miles, it's time to throw it away. Not anymore. That's
right.
That's about. I'm not going to say that's half-life, but it's probably close to half-life, depending on who cared for it, because maintenance is the key to these things. But you can see in Texas, you can see 500,000 miles on some of these trucks.
Yeah, I was going to say, you look at AutoTrader or other classified listings at trucks like the Tahoe and the Silverado. I've seen Tahoes for sale for 10 grand that have 275,000 miles on them.
I know.
Because they know they could get that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they last.
Yep. All right, what else? We were at Chevy HD.
Number four.
Yes.
Yeah, here we go. Number four, 2013 Nissan Titan. It doesn't have the 20,000-pound towing capacity, but it does have over 9,000 pounds. And if you get the Pro 4X, you can go off-road.
Yep.
There's also the 2016 Toyota Tundra. Of course, that truck hasn't changed in quite a long time. 2016 Tundra, 10,500-pound towing. That's pretty impressive. Smaller trucks, a little bit more affordable. 2016 GMC Canyon.
Yep.
That can tow 700 pounds. And this is for more like an everyday truck that you could live with every day. And if you're really on a budget, go back to the 2007 Ram 3500. That can tow more than 16,000 pounds, and you can find them, you know, relatively affordable. These are all under $20,000.
Right.
And you might want to look at the 2007 Silverado 3500 HD also, 16,700-pound towing capacity because of the Duramax diesel. So
right.
If you're a diesel fan, get that.
Right.
And rounding out the last two, there's the 2014 Ford F-150. Even if you get it with the EcoBoost V6, you can still get 11,000-pound towing capacity. And then the 2013, my favorite one is the last one on the list here, is the 2013 GMC Sierra can tow 10,000 pounds plus, maybe closer to 11. But I love the 420-horsepower 6.2-liter V8. That will get you where you want to go. And again, under 20 grand. If it was my money, I'd be buying that GMC.
Mm. And it's funny because, you know, depending on what you're going to do, you have everything in here from a light duty half ton to a you know, a HD heavy duty and an F-350
right.
Ford. And I've owned all these trucks. I actually own right now a 1998, get this, GMC crew cab four-wheel drive dually with 43,000 original miles. And so
wow.
if you can find something like that, that is like finding a diamond. You know what I'm saying? And I got
yeah.
I can tell you, I got it for $8,000, and that truck is going to last me another 100,000 miles. And you know what? Parts are cheap. So repair, even if you, you know, you crunch a fender, you can, they're all over the place. Auto parts, yeah, aftermarket parts. Right. Same with all these vehicles. I don't see anything in here, but I think the one that was a sleeper that you mentioned there was the 2016 Toyota Tundra. 2016 yeah. Tundra for under
pretty
20
new.
Grand. Right. And here's the deal. That Tundra, because it's a little bit long on the tooth, as they say, they haven't yep. upgraded. That right there is one hell of a vehicle. And the reason why they keep on going with it is because it is one hell of a vehicle and people keep on buying them. So good stuff, Brian.
Even if you need to do a few repairs once in a while, remember, let's say you spend, I don't know, $400 a year on repairs. And even that's high. I doubt that you would do that on a Chevy or a Toyota. But even if you did do that, right, even if you did have to take that hit every year, buying a new truck, it's going to be $400, $500, $600 every single month, whether yep. you need to pay it or not. I yep. mean, whether it breaks down or not. A used truck, you pay for it when it needs maintenance, and you're going to come out ahead financially on those deals, way, way ahead.
Just always ask people, before you even go and see them, just say, do you have any of the service records? And if you get real lucky, you guys, yeah, yeah, I got a whole book on it. Then you go see it. If they go, oh, no, you know, well, you know, it needs a little of this, a little of that. Eh, you know, it depends on it, if it reflects in the price. But, man, those service records are like gold. People, when you get your vehicle serviced, put it in a file. It's really valuable in the long run.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, 10 best used trucks that tow for under 20 grand, that tow a lot. Brian Moody, autotrader.com is where you can find this story and a whole bunch more. Thank you, Brian.
Peace.
Peace, love. When we come back, we're going to talk to my buddy Dan Sandberg about Brembo. Best brakes in the country, in the world. We'll be right back. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Joining us now is my buddy Dan Sandberg. He is the president and CEO at Brembo Brakes. You've heard us talk about Brembo, and you're like, if you don't know what they are, you know, then you don't know. But that's why we have Dan on to talk a little bit about it. But for those that know, know. And as Dodge said for a while, when they were teasing us with some of this high horsepower, they go, if you know, you know. That's kind of the way it is with Brembo. Brembo Brakes, some of the finest brakes in the world. They are the choice of champions. And Dan Sandberg is the president and CEO. He's on the line right now. How you doing, Dan?
Do we have great jobs or what?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? It's all this year has been such a stressful year, but my job unstresses it for me. You know what I mean? I get to play with cars.
If I, you know, as you know, I got the big monster got delivered in mid-July.
The big monster.
The big monster, you know what that is.
The car that I'm waiting to for delivery of mine. You're talking about the GT500?
Yes, the GT500. And monster. I tell you, if I had not gotten that car, I would have gone stir crazy.
But let me just tell the world that I do believe that I traumatized you in my last Shelby. If you remember.
You did. And you know, every time I hear the word Shelby, I remember driving into Monterey, California,
yeah,
right? Heading to that crazy dinner, which we won't talk about, right? But you remember that dinner?
I do.
Yes. Anyway, we were driving in Monterey, and you were all over that pedal.
I'm telling you.
And that car was screaming.
And it's funny to think that, you know, at that time, that was, I don't know, what, 2000 and maybe 8 or 9 or 10, somewhere around in there, right? Here, mm-hmm. here we are, 2020. And we've got these 2020 Mustang, Shelby Mustang GT500, 760 horsepower. Dan, of course, has upgraded his brakes a little bit.
A tiny bit.
But look at the horsepower. Look at the handling, the capability. It's like almost the difference between a horse and buggy and an F1 car. It's that far apart from what my Shelby Super Snake was from 2007, my model.
What was the horsepower on that car?
500.
Puny. You know, I mean, you are actually, more. If you really think about it, you're actually getting a NASCAR, like a stock car.
I know.
You know, that's sitting in your garage. And when I start that thing up, everybody in my neighborhood knows.
It's lovely. Right? It's wonderful.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. And so, I got to tell you, when you hear it, it just makes the hairs all over various parts of my body stand up.
Yes. Hopefully not like Joe Biden, your legs, you know. Because he had really hairy legs like you. So, I mean, we won't go there.
Not going to talk about that. You told me.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. Did you change the exhaust? I'm just curious. Are there stock?
No.
Okay, good, good, good.
No. And I leave it. A lot of times I kick it in. They have like four different settings, you know, for exhaust in that car.
Oh, nice.
You have the normal. You have the track. You have. You do have a quiet. Okay. And then there's another one, which I don't know what it is, drag or custom or something like that. Right. But it's unbelievable. I just leave it on the loudest one.
It's amazing. What they've done with these cars is nothing but amazing. Anyway, let's digress. Talk about business for a minute. You're the president and CEO of Brembo Brakes North America. And we talked, I think it was last week, a little bit about these two new products, the Green Tiv and the Innosys. And it maybe went over my head just a little tiny bit.
That's because you made me do it in like 6 minutes because you never picked me up for our date.
Well, you know, it was Halloween. What can I say? But now we have a whole new president and a whole new world. So put it this way. It's all in the rear view mirror now. So we can actually take a little time and breathe. But you also have a new warehouse in Tennessee. Can I ask, first of all, why did you pick Tennessee? I mean, I happen to like Tennessee. I have a lot of friends that live there.
Well, let's talk about something. FedEx.
Yeah.
Do you know where their first facility was?
No. Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay, that's right. I remember that now.
Because it was like right in the middle of the country, or what they viewed as sort of right in the middle of the country, right? It's very centralized and everything else. Yep. And we have been shipping we ship from our plants all over the world in the aftermarket because we're not that large in the aftermarket yet. We've been growing though.
Are you serious? I thought you guys were like dominating because that's all anybody wants is Brembo.
Well, you know, it depends. I mean, we're dominating on the original equipment side, right? You're seeing a lot of our brakes, a lot of colored brakes everywhere in the corners and stuff, right? But in our aftermarket, you know, we sell aftermarket rotors and pads, right? Discs and pads and brake fluid and stuff like that. And, you know, we got into it a few years ago because people want a replacement, you know, discs and rotors and things. And we said, hey, you know, we know all about that stuff. So we have OE, you know, quality replacement, original equipment quality replacement stuff. And you're right. People want it. So we've been growing quite a bit. And instead of shipping from our plants, which can be all over the world, we had to improve our availability of our products, improve our delivery performance, wanted to be close to our customers. Yeah. So we had to build a warehouse.
Yeah, well, good for you.
So there it is.
Are you going to be moving?
In Memphis, Tennessee.
Are you moving to Memphis? Huh? No?
The rendezvous for ribs.
Okay, well, we're going there. So
if we go there, we're getting some ribs.
Okay. Remind me again what was Innosys? You told me last week it was something, and somebody asked me, and I got to ask him again. What was that?
You know, it's a spring, believe it or not. It's a little spring, a little component that goes in the caliper of the brakes, and you know, while you're pressing down on that brake pedal, the pistons inside the caliper squeeze that rotor and stop the car, and there's a spring in there. It kind of grabs the pads, if you will, and pulls them back when you stop, right? When you stop stopping.
Yeah, right. When you stop and, stopping,
When you withdraw the pedal, you know, it's supposed to withdraw so you can continue to roll, right? You don't have anything dragging on your discs.
Well,
you know?
And if the disc is hotter than hell, unless it's ceramic, it's probably better that it's off the disc anyway, too.
Yeah, well, and that's the point. But, you know, sometimes in a lot of brake systems, it's one of these problems that brake systems have had for years is the pads don't withdraw after they touch the brake. They do come off. You can obviously keep going when you take your foot off the brake, but it still drags, you know, and it's actually called that drag.
I got to tell you, I got a funny story. I went with Bobby Unser up – Unser Mountain, Pike's Peak. They call it Unser Mountain. And it was with Porsche in a twin turbo Cayenne SUV. And we went up. I drove up, right? And Bobby Unser was right next to me. And he says to me, "Now here's what we're going to do. You're going to drive it best you can, but I'll change the gears. I'm going to keep my hand on the gear shift. And every time I want you to slow down, I'll just downshift for you." And I thought to myself, this guy is in for a wicked ride. And because it was an automatic, so he could literally just jerk back on it and downshift, which would slow me down. And he did it once, one time going up, and I thought I was flying up there. And so he says to me, "Okay, well, now that was pretty darn good. I have to admit that was pretty darn good." He says, "Now let's trade places." We're at the top of Pike's Peak, and I'm looking around going, I can hardly breathe. Because, you know, we're like, whatever, 14,000 feet. So on the way back down, he says, "I'm going to drive now." So he gets in behind the wheel. Oh, my God in heaven. I thought for sure I was going to poop my pants, puke, and do everything else I could do. But we got to the bottom, and I made it without letting go of any juices. And then he says, "Hurry up now. Get out of the car because the brakes are on fire." So I got out and looked, and the brakes were on fire. We're talking to the guy who's the king of brakes, Dan Sandberg, president and CEO of Brembo Brakes. We'll take a break, come back. We'll take a break and come back. Did you hear that?
And talk. Those weren't our brakes, though.
No, I bet they weren't. We'll be right back. It's The Drive. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. Well, I have a story for everything. I've been in race cars with most everyone, any one of the famous race car drivers, and even guys that are not famous race car drivers. Like, I was going around the Daytona racetrack with Jay Leno one time. Dan Sandberg, president of Brembo.
Were you really, Jay? Were you really with Jay?
Yeah, Jay Leno. And I was trying to do an interview. He was going to drive the pace car that year, and I get it was 2002. It was a Pontiac, believe it or not, 2002. And we're going about 100 and I don't know, I think I was doing 130 miles an hour. And I've got the microphone in front of his mouth because I'm in the passenger seat. He's driving around the Daytona racetrack. And what do you think happens? We hit a bump, a pretty good size bump, you know, and bam, I banged the microphone right into his mouth. And he's driving along, and he just starts smiling, and he looks at me, and the question I had asked right before I banged him right in the teeth with the microphone was, "What are you going to do on race day?" And I was like not even done asking that, all of a sudden, punk, right in the mouth, and he goes, "You know what I'm going to do on race day different from today?" He goes, "I'm going to get rid of 350 pounds of fat sitting next to me in the car. That's what I'm going to do." And we both just laughed our butts off.
He always gives you a lot of grief.
Oh, my gosh, he does. He's funny. Anyway.
The largest car dealer by volume. Do you remember that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Galpin Ford. He goes, "What does that mean by volume?" I go, "Well,
how else can they be the largest car dealer in the world?"
I the worst one that he ever did to me, by the way, and I was devastated. It was like one of the first times I interviewed him at Pebble Beach like 25 years ago. I said to him, "So what are you doing here, Jay?" And I thought maybe he's going to say, "I'm here to judge," or "I'm here showing a car." He goes, "What do you think I'm doing here? Looking at little boys? I'm here to judge the thing." But it's like, oh, my God, what do you think I'm doing here? Looking at little boys? I didn't know what to say, Dan. I'm telling you.
With him, you have to be like a lawyer.
Yeah, I know.
You never ask a question you do not know the answer.
And you being a lawyer, you get it. See, you get it. That's funny. All right. We did not get a great explanation of some of these new products you're making. So can you give a second try at it? Because I really gave you plenty of time, but I don't know.
Well, we were talking about that Ennis's spring before you told us about burning the crap out of those brakes with the Unser. Yeah, but anyway, the Ennis's clip it pulls back those brakes, right? So you don't get that drag.
And you don't get the fire, evidently, too.
You don't get the fire. That's right. But the other one that you liked was Greentiv.
Yeah.
This is your kind of disc that you can put on your car. All right. It's got this special coating on it.
Yeah.
Carbon tungsten, you know, tungsten carbide kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's got a mirror-like finish. Can you imagine that? Having rotors on your car, the discs on your car, instead of those ugly gray things that are in there, it's a mirror.
So I guess I don't understand. I mean, wouldn't the first time you hit the brakes, it wipe that mirror off?
No, it doesn't.
It's that precision.
That's the amazing thing. It is tough. And because it's so tough, these rotors on these Greentiv discs, I mean, they're expensive. They're a little more than your normal discs that you pay for.
Yeah.
But they last forever.
Oh,
there's like no wear. There's no dust. You know, dust is a big issue now.
Oh, it's a pain in the butt to clean.
In Europe right now, they're putting out all this legislation. You know, you're going to have electric cars there, of course, everywhere.
Yep.
But also, you have to lower your emissions from everywhere in the car, including dust and everything else.
Wow.
So we developed Greentiv in Europe, and it's coming to the States. But it's not just low dust, which everybody would like low dust, right? I mean, everybody hates the dust on the wheels and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
My wife, by the way, she has a little Fiat 500 Abarth, and she has it's a white car with white wheels, and that dust is a pain in the butt. And she has you
out there washing that thing all the time.
Are you kidding me? I did it one time 3 years ago, and that was it. Now I take it to a car wash and I pay them extra to clean them because one detail shop says we need to take the tires off the wheels to clean these properly. And I go, no way.
Well, anyway. I learned a little trick from a detailer, though, who told me to put a nice, either you can use some of these carbon, the ceramic products you have now, or even just a nice wax. Wax your wheels and wax your calipers.
Wax on, wax off.
And, you know, that's right. And you know what? All that dust just comes off with a little bit of spray.
So you guys in the last few years have been doing more and more with all the OEMs, original equipment manufacturers. And we're going to have one more break and talk with you just a little bit more, if you don't mind. I got to just take a commercial break and pay the bills. Our show is brought to you in part by Brembo. Dan Sandberg, he's the president over here. You can find out more information at Buy Brembo. That's also where you can buy it. Buybrembo.com on the web. I'll come back and talk a little bit more with my buddy Dan. Stay with us.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
So we're talking about brakes. We always talk about horsepower, but if you have big horsepower, you better have big brakes. If you have a car, you better have good brakes. If you have a bicycle, you better have brakes. You know, the only thing you don't need brakes on is a skateboard, because that's when you just jump off and roll.
And if you have big hands, you know you have big brakes.
What? What does that mean? Dan Sandberg, president and CEO, Brembo North America. So can we just talk for a moment here about GM, Ford, and Dodge, or FCA, you want to call it. The American automakers have really, over the last, what's it been, maybe 5, 6, 7 years, I don't know, long, 10 years, really embraced your brakes. And it's kind of a, I don't know, it's a piece of jewelry on the car. People want to see Brembo brakes on their Shelbys and on their Camaros and whatever else, you know, the Dodge Demons or the Red Eyes, Hellcats, things like that. this has really been a boom for you guys. In 2020, you would think that it was a down time for the auto industry, and it was. There was a hiccup there, of course, because people were not able to get the parts to build the cars. But all of a sudden, as Ed reported in the beginning of, you know, the hour, I think it was last week, he was talking about it, and he spent, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes talking about, man, a lot of these car companies, FCA in particular, had billions in profit, billions in 2020. So, and I've been talking to you that Brembo's doing well. Is it still going that way? People, there are the automakers still calling you going, Dan, we want more. What's it like?
You know, it's been good for the auto business. I mean, we're down this year. Everybody is down. Even those big numbers that you're talking about, they're down. Imagine what they would have done if they didn't have to shut down for 2.5 months.
Right.
But, you know, our industry is really, really efficient. And, you know, you hear about just in time. You talk about that. And people don't realize that, you know, when you order a car, they make it, and in 2-3 weeks, it's delivered, you know, to the dealer, right? Sometimes a little longer, depending on how popular the cars are. Well, if you cut that chain off, right?
Yeah.
You cut the spigot off for a month, month and a half, there's no cars in any of the dealer's lots. So when everything kind of came back up again, even with people sitting at home, you know, they can just call their dealer, right? And he comes right over, and he has you. I mean, that's the greatest thing in the world. You don't have to go to a dealership.
Right.
You just do it all online. So the cars were still selling, and they just, you know, I think they just pulled the product out of the lots. And, you know, Americans are kind of funny, right? The less chance, I guess, you have of buying a product, the more you want it.
I know,
right? So, they, you know, you go into the dealer. He says, you know, I only got 6 of those cars, but I can order it and give it to you in 6 weeks. They say, no, I'll take one of the ones off the lot, right? And that's exactly what happened. We emptied out the lots, and we are just, you know, we're at full capacity in all our plants here in North America because we can't make enough to fill that pipeline. So
when you talked about just in time, it's the manufacturing term. And what happens is the auto manufacturer that's building the car has many, many suppliers. Of course, Brembo being a brake supplier for GM, Ford, Chrysler, all the rest of these car companies. And so you guys will like send a truck just in time. That has been, the product has been ordered. So they don't have to have all these parts on their shelves because you guys are bringing them as they're building them. And that was where there was a big kind of a disruption because of COVID and all the garbage that was going on.
I mean, you know, when we were making, let's say Corvettes, which we do, you know, beautiful brakes on the, in the brand new Corvette, right? But those Corvettes, you know, you come in, you order your car, you ask for a red one, red brakes. All right. You ask for blue brakes. You ask for black brakes, yellow brakes. It's delivered just like that. And they know when that car is going to come off the line. And then we have to deliver, which is kind of in reverse order. Right. We load the truck in reverse because when they pull them off and have to put them on their shelf, getting them ready to put on the cars. Right.
Yep.
They have to be in exactly the order they come down the line. So it's really, it literally is just in time.
Yeah.
We deliver those parts to sometimes the day of.
Isn't that wild?
It's crazy. It's imagine that 6,000 components coming all together at the simultaneous, you know, at the right time to be put on that vehicle.
It's absolutely brilliant, is what it is. Until COVID, until the Rona hits, you know, right? All right, you guys can find out more about Brembo at you can buy Brembo brakes at buybrembo.com on the web. Thank you, Dan. It's always good talking to you. It's always fun.
Always good talking to you.
We're gonna have to take our Shelby's out. And what's that?
Stay safe.
Yes, you too.
We're going to wearing my mask right now.
Take our Shelby's out and go create some more trauma for each other. All right. That's about it for this show this weekend. Thank you guys for listening, and thanks for being car-loving crazies like we are. We'll see you guys next week, same time, same channel, right here on The Drive. And it's heading my way. Sometimes I grow so tired, but I know I've got one thing I got to do. Ramble on. And now the time is now. See myself. I'm going around the world. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever.
the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.